Well, welcome back, everyone, to our fifth session on Ever Faithful. Today, we're going to be talking about to be faithful. We're going to get some more into talking about us being faithful. And we really began that last week as we talked about how He is mindful of us. But we are also told to be mindful or to remember concerning Him. So let's just jump right into this today. We've been anchored in Hebrews 11:11, and I've been just thinking about this one more and more, and I think there's great promise for us and great encouragement in this. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability, or some translations say received strength, to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered Him faithful who had promised. Now, we don't want to read this and get hung up on she considered Him faithful and it gave her strength to conceive. But that word conceive leads to bring about. And sometimes I think we need to do just what He's saying, not bring about things in the physical, but begin to see it in the Spirit so that we can bring about spiritual things. So that's kind of where I've been meditating on this verse recently. We've also been anchored in a verse in Ezekiel 48 that says, the name of the Lord is the Lord is there, Jehovah Shema. And that's one of His redemptive names. So we know that that's His nature, His character. And we said what? Ever present with us. Always there for us. And really what we can say is we can count on Him always. And that truly is what faithfulness is. Psalm 37:3, we've also talked about, concludes in saying in the New American Standard for us to cultivate faithfulness. So that says to me there's some things we can do, but even if we have time today, we're going to see that that's some things the Lord has already done, has prepared us to be able to cultivate faithfulness. And so last week in being made, talking about Him being mindful of and then us, we looked at a scripture where I think the angels were looking and they said, look at the heavens, the works of Your hands, and You've set them in place. Yet, what is man that You are mindful of him? What is man that You've created, that You're always thinking about him, bearing his thoughts, bearing in Your thoughts his well-being? And really, that word literally means inclined to be aware of. And we know that's constantly. We saw this affirmed in Psalm 115, verse 12, where it says, the Lord has been mindful of us. And then it goes on to say, He will bless us. And we looked at how that applies to you and I today, just like it did the children of Israel. We saw that God also told the children of Israel in Exodus, the second chapter, the 34th verse, it says, He heard their groaning and remembered. And we talked about how the fact that this is not something God forgot, because what do we know? He's ever mindful of us. But this just tells us that God will be Johnny on the spot, if I can say it that way, to do what? To have His deliverance come to us. Because this is talking about when they were in captivity and needed to be delivered. Psalm 98, verse 3, I think sums all these up. And it says, He has remembered His loving kindness and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. And again, that's us today. I just like that. He's remembered His loving kindness, that everlasting love that He's drawn us with, and His faithfulness to you and I today. Now, we moved last week from talking about the Lord being mindful of us to us to begin to be mindful of Him, particularly and I would use the word to remember. In Exodus 13:3, as they were getting ready to leave the land of Egypt at their deliverance, Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt. And of course, that was the day that they were redeemed. And so He's marking this time as a special time and telling them, don't forget it. And I think there are things in our lives that we can go back and say, this is a big marker. And I'll just share with you some things that BJ and I have done to help us remember those significant events in our life. Psalm 77, verse 11, children of Israel talking. And they're saying, the psalmist is saying, I will remember the works of the Lord. surely I will remember your wonders of old. And then the next verse concludes by saying, and I'll talk or speak of your deeds. So he's remembering what the Lord has done, and he's talking about it to encourage you. Do we do that? That is something that I think is really, really important for us. And then we kind of wrap this up in Psalm 78. Now, in the eighth verse of that psalm, it says that he didn't want them to be stubborn like their fathers. He even called them rebellious. And we see in 41 and 42 the impact of what that did and why they didn't remember, or what it caused when they didn't remember. Psalm 78, verse 41 says, yes, again and again they tempted God. I like it better. Some translations say they tried him. This is when they weren't faithful to him. And then it goes to say, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, many would say, hey, no way that man can limit God. Yes, we can. And that is significant because it blocks the ability of him to bless us in the way that he desires. Now, Psalm 78 goes on in after 41 and 42 says, gives us the reason. It says, they did not remember his power. And what did they forget? That day when he redeemed them from the enemy. So calling to mind what the Lord has previously done for us, we're going to begin to see the importance of that and how that strengthens us to conceive and to receive even more from the Lord. Now, let me just remind you again. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and cultivate faithfulness. Saints, that's really a command. That is saying, I'm expecting you to develop and mature in faithfulness, being mindful of it, remembering his power, the things he's done for us. And it will cause us to be strong when we're facing tests and trials, when attacks come against us, when we're tempted to fear, or we have, as we saw some people talked about, having anguish in their soul. Now, let me just take a quick minute, and we'll jump into today's topic, to tell you one of the things that BJ and I have done, and we seem to do this a lot when we travel. I remember one day we were heading down to spend some time with our son, Clint, and his family, and things just didn't feel right. I don't remember exactly what was going on, but we began to just talk about the things that the Lord has done for us. And I want to tell you, we have about an hour and almost a 2-hour drive, really, on the interstate. It seemed like it went by in 15 minutes as we got to recounting the things that the Lord has done. And you can specialize in that. If we're having some difficulties or our children are being attacked, then we'll go back and try to recount things that the Lord has done specifically for our boys in their lives and remember. So you can target these things. You can do it with healings that you've received in his body, deliverances if you've been attacked by the enemy with thoughts. It'll work for you in every way. And we need to do this, though, not just to remember, but as we remember, express thankfulness. Be grateful for what he has done. And so that leads us to today's session, which we're going to be talking about, to be faithful. That's who you and I are. We are people who are called to be faithful. And today, what I believe the Lord wants to do, and I'm going to try to do it for him, and I believe we will, is to really talk about being faithful and what that means so that we have a correct understanding of it from his perspective. And we'll be able to push aside some of the things that maybe we thought about what being faithful means. So go with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew. And we're going to go through some scriptures where it mentions two times a verse we all want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And what we want to look at today is to understand how they were qualified to receive that statement from the Lord. So let's begin in verse 14. For this is like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. Now, I'm going to read a verse or two and talk about it. I want to talk about the fact that he's speaking to those who he's master over. And certainly we're subject to our master, our Lord Jesus. And he had something that he valued and he entrusted it to them. So what's he doing? Right off, he's expressing confidence in them to pull off, to do what he's entrusting them to do. Now you may say, well, how does that tie into the spiritual part of it? Well, let me just be blunt. God's message of salvation is not going to come by him riding in the sky. Yes, there are signs in the skies. But salvation will come to this earth and cover this earth through Lord Jesus, but it's by our sharing of the gospel, proclaiming the gospel. We're the ones that are called to do that. There is no plan B. So this is something that he has entrusted to you and I. And so there are a couple of things we need to pick up. It's important to him. He values it. We ought to value it the same. And he's expressing confidence in us, you're going to see, to be able to do it. Now in verse 15, it goes on to say, and he gave 5 talents to one. In other words, he trusted that first one with 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. Now, there were different amounts. These talents here are talking about money. But I like it's an interesting use of the words, because I would use giftings for us in the spirit realm today, things that he's called us to do and gifted us to do. But what I want you to see is he gave it to them based on his knowledge of their ability to accomplish it. He didn't expect failure. And this phrase about ability is going to be really important to us. It's some things we need to see, and I think a lot of times we think wrongly of this. So let's read 16 and 17. Immediately. Now that's important, because it says when God asks you to do something, start now. We've talked about that with Abram, and that being something he really did. Even after he was Abraham and took his son to go to slay him, he said he got up early the next morning. So immediately the one who had received the 5 talents, again, 5 talents that were entrusted to him, he went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. Verse 17, in the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. So 2 used the ability that the Lord knew they had and gave to them, their Lord, and he made this decision based on his judgment of their ability. Did he think less of the servant who had 2 than he did 5? And you're going to see a clear answer to that. We would be tempted to say, well, he doesn't think as much of me as he does someone else. That's not the case, and we don't need to get trapped into that. And then we go to verse 18. Let me mention one other thing, too. They brought increase from the 5 to 10 and from 2 to 4, but it wasn't for themselves, was it? They had no knowledge of what they were going to gain from this or how they would gain from this. They were simply do it because it was entrusted and they were instructed to do business with it. And so see that they're doing this not for gain themselves. Then verse 18, but the one who received the 1 talent went away and dug in the ground, and he hid his master's money. Now, I want us to put ourselves in the mindset of this person who received 1. Can you see that he probably began to think to himself, boy, he doesn't think much of me. I just got 1. And if he don't think much of me, I better not mess this up. And what did he do? He did not do what the master said. He went and buried it. Now, verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And then in verse 20 and 21, we're going to read these two together because it's a lot of the same discourse. And the one who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you have entrusted 5 talents to me, and see, I have gained 5 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about entering into the joy of your master. Let's just, for today's discussion, agree that this is very important. He's going to be more involved with the master. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. So that's what I want you to begin to see. He's been elevated to a point where he's being around and with the master even more than he was. But let's go back and look what it says. You entrusted me with 5, and here they are, plus 5 more. Now, he says, well done. So that to me says he's used the ability. He's done using the skills that he had, what his master had asked him to do. And then he calls him a good and faithful servant. So he's expressing the fact that he's done well and that he's acted in the right way. And that's what I think going about doing good is, doing his will. And then he says, good and faithful. Now, let me remind you what faithful means. Stable, firm. We might say what? He could count on it. And see what's next. Let's see what's next here. What did the master do in verse 21? He said, you were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. So he has done what? He has rewarded him with more responsibility, because in being faithful, he qualified himself for this responsibility. Now, I gave you a clue to what this next discussion is going to be about. Did he reward him because he had the ability to handle 5 talents? No. Did he really reward him just because he made 5 talents more? No. Why did he reward him? Because he was faithful. And he proved to his master that I can handle a few. And so the master then is ready to reward him with more, or what I'm going to call later, the more. And that is important that we see. It's not because he had more ability that all this came to him. Now, you see that, and let's prove it with verse 22 and 23, because this follows the same scenario. The one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, and here he's using the same word again, you entrusted. Now, I want to just stop there. That word entrusted, when they say you entrusted, means that I recognize that you valued it and you expected me to look at it with the same value that you do. Saints, that's a key part of us being faithful. Too often I see people, and I've done it myself, who in trying to be faithful, I want to add to or do something different. I'm getting ahead of myself because we're going to be talking about that a little bit next week. But he said, you entrusted me 2 talents and I've gained 2 more. And his master said, same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of the master. So again, he didn't say good and well done because the man had ability, or he got 2 more. What he was so pleased with was his faithfulness to do with what he had given them exactly what he asked to do. The same reward for being faithful was given to each man. Spending time with the Lord, and I'm saying our Lord, thinking about us, but with their Lord Master, and getting even more responsibility. You know, it's not that the 2 and 5 didn't matter, but that wasn't the quantity is not really what mattered. It was what? The faithfulness. And so let's counter that now and look at the third gentleman. And the one in verse 24. And so I'm going to read 24 and 25 and talk about them both. It says, "And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, and I gather.'" Let me back up. I read the wrong two verses. Let's go back up to 24. "And the one who had received the one talent came up and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed.'" And then 25, and we'll stop here. "And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." So I want to go back to that first verse, 24, or 25 really, and ask the question, I was afraid of what? Well, I think we get a key from it, well, by what he says in verse 24. Now, he had a misunderstanding of what being a hard man is, but he did say, and you'll see the master agrees with him, "Yes, I do reap where I don't sow." But the bottom line is, he did not value what he had for some reason. Either he thought, I'm not up to the par of the others, comparing to others, versus comparing to what the master asked him to do. He might have thought, he doesn't think I have any ability. He didn't value the one talent that was truly his. He wanted to protect it. But he had no confidence in the ability the master saw in him, is the bottom line. And that caused him to fear. Thinking it wasn't important, not thinking as much of me, not valuing what he had been given. Now, the next verse here, 26, the master answered him and said, "You wicked, lazy slave." Could it be more different than what he heard? And again, he knew the slave had talent to do that one, to deal with that one talent. He wouldn't have given it to him. The Lord is not going to ask you to do something that he's not going to equip you to do. Now, you're not going to do it in your own strength. You're going to have to do it in his. But he said, "You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap and I didn't sow and gather where there is no seed." Man, that hurts. You had the talent, he's saying, to do what I asked you to do. But what's the real issue? He didn't value what was entrusted to him. He didn't value the fact that the master had confidence in him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have charged him. And he wasn't faithful to even try to attempt what the master had charged him to do. Then what's happened? 28 and 29. "Take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For to everyone who has shall more be, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away." Saints, what's this telling me is that if we don't use what the Lord has given us, he's going to accomplish the task that he's asked us to do. And he's going to give it to somebody else to do if we are not faithful to act upon his word. We all have gifts. But the question is, do we esteem what we've been given? And do we have the right expectation of our ability in him to perform it? So that we too can what? Be called faithful and be given more and enter into that joy of the Lord. Now, from this, I think we can derive faithfulness is not about numbers. It's not about the types of gifts that you and I may have been given. And it's not to be about comparing to others, but simply valuing as we see who we are in the Lord based on what he says to us. Minton, you have this one talent, go do business with it. Bring results back for me. Basically, it's doing exactly as he instructs us to do. But let's look at some few more aspects of being faithful. And some of them might even be repeated to what we see. So go to the book of Luke. And we're going to look in Luke 16, and we're going to read four verses, 10, 11, 12, and 13. But we're going to take time to talk about each one of them. Now, I've provided you in the notes because the way it's translated really allows us to make some points here. And so I'm going to read it to you in the Wiest translation. He who is faithful in a very little. Now, let's just stop there. Who is determining that it is little? It's what the person receiving it, how he views it. There is nothing little, not important, that the Lord asks you and I to do. And that's what we need to see. So let me read that again. He who is faithful in a very little, in other words, they see that what the Lord has given him to do is important, and therefore can be relied upon. Oh, I like that statement. I want to be one that the Lord can rely on to do what he tells me to do. It says, he is faithful also in much and can be relied upon there. So what he's telling us is that when we are faithful with the little and we act on it, we're proving that we can handle more, that he can trust us with more. And a lot of this gets back to character and integrity, being the same person in front of people as we are when we're in private. It goes on to say, and he who violates law and justice in a very little thing does the same thing also in regard to much. So what he's saying here, I may have given you a $5 task, but if you're not faithful in it, you're not going to be faithful when I give you a $50 million task. We've got to prove our things in the little. We must be faithful in the little. And we do that by esteeming his judgment in what he's giving us, in what he provides us, similar to what we saw in the previous scripture. But this verse here says it very clearly, that if you're not faithful with little, he can't trust you to be faithful with much. And again, I love this phrase, to be relied upon. That's what I want the Lord to do for both, to see how I want him to see you and myself. Then we go to verse 11. And then it says, since therefore you were not faithful in the use of riches, which are the object and desire of the unrighteous world. So meaning worldly things. If you're not faithful with worldly things, who then can entrust you with wealth that is genuine? In other words, the spiritual part of it. He's instructing us that if we can't handle worldly items like money, being placed in a position of importance like supervision or maybe an elected official, if we can't be faithful in these things to the people we serve, then we need not have expectations to be granted true riches. In other words, spiritual giftings such as revelation in the Word, and I'm using these three purposefully, miracle working power, and God ordained positions in his body. Verse 12. And in the view of the fact that you were not faithful in that which belongs to another person, who will give you wealth which is your own? So he's saying here, when you're handling something that is someone else, you need to act like and put forth the effort that is the same as if it was yours. Listen to two translations and then we'll talk about it. And if you've not been proven faithful with what belongs to another, then why should you be given wealth of your own? That's the Passion. Complete Jewish says, if you haven't been trustworthy in what belongs to someone else, who will give you what ought to belong to you? Now that says a little different. That's telling us that the Lord really wants to give this to us, but he's not able to. Saints, we must be faithful when we are given a responsibility in another person's business, the ministry. In effect, for someone who just hires us to do a job, we must be as faithful doing that for them as we would be in doing it for ourselves. This is serious. If we can't do it for another, then how can we be trusted with the true spiritual giftings? That determines our heavenly riches. Verse 13, the last one here. Not one household slave or servant is able to keep on rendering a slave or servant service to two masters. You can't do and please two different masters if they ask for competing things. For he will either hate the one and the other he will love, or to the one he will hold firmly and the other one he will despise, not esteem highly. You are not able to keep on serving God and riches. And I think he's talking the continuation of verse 11 here about earthly riches. If we are seeking earthly riches on, like verse 11 said, and I'm not saying that a person, a godly person, ought not run for political office. I pray that we get more people who will do it and will have the right priorities. But if we go solely into that for what it's going to do for me and not how it's going to impact the body of Christ and the Lord and his people, then I think we forfeit the ability to receive the more of the godly riches and services. I would say it this way. When he adds to us, it is right in every way. The amount, the timing, the form it comes in, how he gets it to me. But the key part there is I'm getting it with the right heart. Faithful. I'm dependable. Steadfast, stable, firm. And when I am, God will never let me down. But I'm going to have to make up my own mind to increase in this. And to increase, I'm going to have to do it his way with his talents that he's charged me with. Now, I think I'm going to unplug here because I don't have time to do this next part justice. But let me say this. Proverbs 28 verse 20 says, a faithful man will abound in with blessings. It goes on to say, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. In other words, someone who's trying to promote himself. The Complete Jewish says, a trustworthy person will receive many blessings, but the one rushing to get rich will not go unpunished. So let me say this with clarity, and I will probably repeat this next week. Being faithful is not about being positioned to get stuff. It is solely about putting ourselves in a position to do what this verse says. The faithful will abound in the blessing. We will abound being blessed. So what? So that we might be a blessing. This is when we are truly rich. Yeah, it can include finances, but their finances is secondary to the spiritual part of it. And we're going to look at some examples as we start next week that will build on this. And you're going to see how people who are faithful in what are considered menial tasks, earthly oriented tasks, physical things, that when they were faithful, the abundance of blessing came upon them. So come back and be with us as we study more about us walking in faithfulness to our Master, our Lord Jesus. Look forward to seeing you next week as we continue this study on faithfulness.